Welcome to Big Broadway Energy, the podcast with your host, Stephen Reardon. That's me. Thanks for being here, friends. All right, well, it's no secret that I really enjoy American Stage for a lot of reasons. One of the biggest reasons is that American Stage reminds me that theater equals community. And American Stage is at the heart of our community here in St. Pete. Every year, they bring the community together for a very special event, and we go back to the park. And this year, we are going into the woods. That's right. One of Sondheim's biggest hits is currently running at Demenz Landing right now down the street from where we are recording. And today, I have two members of this fabulous cast on the show. Please welcome Ryan Joustra and Katie Davis to Big Broadway Energy. Hi, ladies.
Hi. What's up?
Oh, my gosh. It's so good to have you both on the show. I'm already sort of obsessed with both of you. And I'm excited to talk to you about the show, mostly because I can tell we are all sort of music theater nerds. Thank God. There's nothing worse when I talk to an actor and they're like, I don't really know about Son. I don't really think he's overrated. No, nice meeting you. I have nothing else to say.
Like, bye. No, really. Okay, bye.
Yeah, it's so true. And it's funny, on my weekly radio show where I do Broadway music, every second Tuesday of the month, I dedicate it to like a composer. And last year, I did a whole year of Sondheim.
It was Sondheim every Tuesday.
It was. And everyone was like, you know, there are other composers. Maybe you can try other people. I'm like, shut up.
Okay.
Anyway, that's so fun. Okay, so let's talk about Into the Woods. Ryan, for those of us who do not know the show, could you give us a brief synopsis of the show and then who you are playing?
Yeah, I'm playing the witch. And the show is taking the fairy tale characters that you know and that you grew up with, grim fairy tale characters, telling the story that we know. And then in Act Two, what happens whenever you get your happily ever after? Mm. What happens when you get your wish? What happens when you get everything that you want? Is it actually a good ending for you? Mm. And I'll leave that question kind of hanging in the air.
You have to find out. And it's all these different fractured fairy tales that are together. And on the surface, we'll talk about that in a minute, on the surface of like what that looks like. But every famous fairy tale character is represented. And Katie, you're one of those very famous
yes,
characters.
My
you
favorite.
Are playing the wonderful Cinderella. Talk to us about Cinderella and what you love about her.
Oh my gosh. I mean, Cinderella, to be quite honest, it's a role that I think from when I was a child, I wanted to play, but I never really saw myself playing her in this show.
Sure.
And I think I love this version of her so much is because of what happens in Act Two.
Mm.
It's because she, you know, you see her running away from the ball, you see her leaving the shoe, but in Act Two, when she realizes that the prince has broken her heart and her mother's grave has been completely destroyed, her whole life kind of changes and you see like her become a mother herself. Mm. I think that has been the most interesting part of playing her is to find that part of Cinderella for me.
It's true. I mean, Cinderella has a whole musical based on her. So you could go to Rodgers and Hammerstein's and play Cinderella for 2.5 hours. And instead, you are one of this company of fairy tale characters. To your point, for the longest time, we hear Happily Ever After and we grow up with Happily Ever After, right? And then Sondheim and his brilliance humanized these characters made them three-dimensional. So. And then you're like, wait a minute, there's more than Happily Ever After. And that's not always so happy. Sondheim shows are so often revived on Broadway. I mean, every season there's another Sondheim revival. And I think it must be challenging to bring new elements to shows that are so beloved to so many. And I saw the first act of your production last Saturday.
And hopefully you'll see Act Two
and
tonight.
And hopefully you'll see the whole show tonight. The second act was canceled due to weather, and that happens sometimes in the park, and it's such a bummer because the whole audience is on a high with you, and then okay, sorry, the rain's coming or the wind is coming and you must go home.
Right.
So one thing I noticed about this production, however, in the first act is that the show feels very youthful. The cast is very youthful. And that's one thing that I think is different than a lot of other productions of Into the Woods. What do you both think is different about this production, or what are you bringing to your characters that might be a little different than maybe what you've seen in the past?
Oh, that is such a good question. I have found that with the witch, I've been focusing a lot on her as a mother first, and her love for Rapunzel is her drive for almost every decision that she makes. It's her vanity along with Rapunzel. Those are the two most important things for her. So I think that having that being her drive, her want factor is to having that relationship. I don't know. I think that that's what drives my character.
Katie, what about you?
Yeah, me? I mean, I love being funny on stage.
Girl, yes.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'm funny, but I'm I love having fun. And like we said, Into the Woods gets dark. So I think, I honestly think what I'm trying to have fun with is the lightheartedness in the dark with mm-hmm. her, and that it does get dark, but to find that strength to keep going and to find the lightheartedness in things. I think that's kind of what is so fun about being her. And because, you know, you see her at the beginning with her stepsisters and with her stepmother, and it's the story you've always seen, but then you don't see her for another like 30 pages mm-hmm. and you see everybody else, and then she comes back and she's running from the ball already. Like there's so, she's always go, 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 go. Mm-hmm. And whenever she has moments of stillness, like that's what I've been like so excited to do every single night.
It's so funny you say that you don't see her for a long time, because that's one thing I didn't really remember that in the last productions, that she's gone for a lot of the first act. And in this production, I felt it, and I thought to myself, girl, that ball must have happened at that ball. You know what I mean? Like we don't hear it. We just know. And then you come out, and it's just so fun to sort of see your reactions. And both of you have such beautiful physical reactions in this show. Like I was watching your faces, and your face is covered by a mask for a lot of the first act, but your body, what you've done physically with your body, is so specific. And it really is great. And I was also thinking about how much a challenge it must be for actors to play roles that are not only iconic, but have such recognition with the actors that have played them in the past.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Trying not to be Bernadette Peters has been a whole thing I grew up watching the pro shot with her. That was my favorite movie. Oh, I would rent it from the library. Girl, I loved it. Watching it on VHS. So making sure that I didn't, it's finding the way to play homage to her without copying is really hard.
And Meryl, Tina Miller, Montego Glover. Like, there's so many. Vanessa Williams.
Vanessa Williams.
I mean, iconic witches.
Iconic witches. Absolutely iconic witches. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was the challenge. But it was a fun one.
Yeah, no, for sure. And Katie, you were new to me until I saw you and Himself and Nora at Freefall.
Yes.
That just happened this season. Yeah,
literally
it just closed.
Just happened.
Yeah, exactly. And what an odd and fascinating show that was. You were so wonderful in it. Into the Woods, however, is like a totally different approach to the work. Like, it's a show that everybody knows.
Yes.
Again, like, same kind of vibe of like, you come into this thing that people already know, you're bringing something specific, I hope. And when I saw you, I was, oh yeah, like, she's so funny, and she's so like driven to do her job, but at the end of the day, she's just over these girls, she's over these sisters, she's over this mom.
Over it.
Yeah. And you're really so, it's fun to watch that sort of like quiet anger.
Oh, thank you so much.
It really, I mean, I hope that's what you're going for, because that's totally what I got from it.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I love playing the part of her that is just done with these
done,
women.
Right?
Like, Helen, our director, love her so much. Shout out to you, Helen.
Yes.
She came up to me one day and she gave me a note like right before our last dress rehearsal or something like that. And she was like, get mad that your mom is sitting in your prince's throne, even though he's leaving you to go do whatever, you know,
right?
What we know he's going to do, but like, get mad at her. And I was like, you know what? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm done. Even though my sisters are right next to me and they're blind and they are like grabbing my freaking crown, they're like annoying me. And like, I can choose to be the like nice, sweet Cinderella, but I think it's more fun to be like really just done and annoyed with these women, because I truly have gotten what I wanted in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm done with everything else, you know?
It's
fun.
It feels nice. Yes. Again, it feels human, which I think is, Cinderella needs a little humanity, right?
For sure.
This is not your first Sondheim show. You also did Sunday in the Park with George, must be the hardest Sondheim show of all time.
Oh my God, it's my favorite Sondheim show.
It's so good, isn't it?
It is. I'm a Sondheim girly through and through.
Yes.
And Sunday has always been my favorite. And then the production and that I did with Graham Phillips and Talia Suskower, it was beautiful. It was at Axelrod Performing Arts Center in New Jersey. And I think I fell in love with Sondheim's ability to really, really storytell through words.
Sure.
And I'd done Sondheim even prior to that, but I think that moment really, really did it for me. And to revisit his work in this, I mean, I've done this show once before.
Oh, who did you play?
I played the stepmother.
Oh, oh my gosh.
Yes. So full circle here. just to revisit everything has been so lovely.
I love that. And Sondheim is notorious for saying this show, especially Into the Woods, is not autobiographical in any way. But if you know his history and you know his backstory about his family and his parents splitting up and his mom sort of blaming the split on having him and how he says he never really felt any love from his mother. And then you hear Children Will Listen. I think that's what I love. I think what we all are saying we love about him is this ability to use your life experience, maybe not it be autobiographical, but use your life experience to say something to someone. And I think that's what causes these shows to affect me. Ryan, can you talk about like maybe how these shows affect you and how they affected you growing up?
Oh my gosh. Sondheim's work has always affected me because I love how the way that he writes music, and I'm just going to start with this, the way that he writes vocal lines and the way that he writes music is a lot how we speak to each other, the inflection that we have in our voices. Agreed. So his music was easy to grab onto because I was like, oh, it's conversational. It's like, it's how we talk. Children Will Listen in particular is one of those songs that just goes into my soul, into my heart, and also makes me think about like whenever I was younger, you know, it's one of those songs that we can all, especially in today's world, listen to those words and put them into practice. Everybody's watching. Children are watching the decisions that we're making. The world is watching the decisions that we're making. Okay. Making sure that we are conscious as humans and as people and the impact that every decision and every choice that we make impacts the world around us.
Ooh. And that we have to have each other's backs.
And we have to have each other's
backs.
You know,
I mean, one really poignant moment in the show always for me is The Last Midnight. And it's like,
Ryan kills, by the way.
Yeah. I'd love to maybe see it tonight.
And like
no, but it's like, you know, this idea of like, all of these people are trying to blame each other. It wasn't me. And then they all come together and say, you can't take this boy. We're going to protect. We are in charge of his safety. You know, and I think that again reminds us all we're all in charge of each other's safety, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
There's always going to be a witch. There's always going to be someone trying to get their way and be bad, quote unquote, right? Or try to have power.
I will say though, I'm not trying to be bad in that moment.
No,
I'm trying to solve a problem.
That's right.
And I'm not thinking about our feelings, our emotions, or any of that. Oh, you guys want to play the blame game? You want to play the blame game? Whose fault it is? But then nobody wants to take responsibility and step up. And she said, the witch says it. I say it throughout the entire show. If it were left to you, a decision would never be made. If I have to wait for you guys to decide something, nothing's ever going to happen.
Absolutely.
My favorite lines Ryan says is actually like right before we sing Your Fault, which is right before The Last Midnight, when she's talking to the baker and she's like, you're not the only one who has suffered a loss. That hits me like so deep. You're right. There's always going to be a witch. There's always going to be a problem. It's, oh my gosh, it hits.
It really does. And I think, again, it goes back to the brilliance of Stephen Sondheim, who knows how humans feel.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He finds ways in his songs to remind us of that. And it just, I don't know. I'm so amazed at his ability to connect us all through this medium, right?
Right.
And I could just talk about him all day long. The themes of Into
the Woods.
I know, right? So if you're unfamiliar with Into the Woods, the themes are, you know, fairy tales. So the kids will love it. But if you see the show, you know, about relationships and family and hope and fear and loss and all the biggies, it almost becomes something else entirely, which is really, like I said, the genius of Stephen Sondheim. Mm. Did you, in the rehearsal process, did anything new come up, especially for two people who really know the show? Because I was really interested, if I were to do this show, I would love and hope that something would hit me differently. Did something come up to where you're like, oh wow, I didn't think of it like that?
What about you?
I think I need to think about that for a second.
For me, we were just talking about Last Midnight. This is one of them for me. When I never understood the line, I'm leaving you alone. Oh God, how does it go? You can tend the garden, it's yours, separate and alone. Mm. And I never understood what she was saying. You can tend the garden, it's yours, separate and alone. And she's telling them, you're going to be separate and alone, rather than put the garden pieces separate and in different places. But I'm a very literal person.
Right.
That and the witch's lament. I didn't feel that until I was chasing the girl who plays the young woman who plays Rapunzel. Her name is Kaya. And I genuinely love her. Thing. But when I'm chasing after her before she did, I won't give anything away. But then I sing The Witch's Lament. And that song, I didn't feel until I was like watching her like walk off and she's gone and I'm really living the feeling of loss.
Yeah,
I guess.
So, I love that.
Yeah, that song in particular really changed entirely for me from whenever I heard it growing up and being able to perform it. It makes me very emotional. That's the part of the show that I definitely get very emotional at.
Yeah. I think for me, I think along with Ryan too, like certain lyrics of certain songs are definitely hitting me different. Like in On the Steps of the Palace, I think specifically, which is such
a
wordy
song. You kill that
song.
Oh,
thank you.
You are so incredible in
that
song.
It is hard.
It is hard.
It is hard to remember all the words, all the rhythms. It's ridiculous. But I think the part where she's like, but then what if he knew who you were when you know that you're not what he thinks that he wants? And then also later when she says, although how can you know who you are till you know what you want, which you don't? So then which do you pick? Oh my gosh. Like just the whole back and forth of that song.
The patter.
Just the patter, which Sondheim is famous for, we know.
Yep.
Just, I think, taking more time to get those words out has allowed me to actually physicalize that in my body more. I think you can, it's very, very well done when somebody is very grounded and sings Sondheim. And I think it's also hilarious and also really, I think there's a good balance of both. And I think just doing that in On the Steps of the Palace and also later on when I sing No One Is Alone, I mean, that's much slower, but really, really listening to those lyrics and realizing that the baker and Cinderella are both singing the same thing to these children from different places. That has hit me different. I didn't really think about that until this time I did the show. They're saying the same thing to these children, and it's different for each of them.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It is so beautiful.
I love that song.
No.
Every time they sing it, I cry. I'm back there like,
I'm holding back tears just singing it.
So,
oh my God.
Last week when I was there, my friend who was with me had never seen Into the Woods. So with every song, I'm like, that's my favorite one. Oh, no, hold on. My favorite one's the one coming up. Oh, no, that one's pretty good, but the next one's really good. And he kept laughing. He's like, which one's your favorite? I'm like, shut up. They're all my favorite.
The whole show.
The show is my favorite. Ghost, just enjoy it. All right, last question, friends. I ask all my guests a version of this question, and I told you before, so you had 15 minutes to answer that.
Oh, no.
How, just ask us five other questions.
How do you use art in your everyday life, or how has art affected you in your everyday life? And you're both such amazing artists, so I don't need anything super, you know, like super inventive here. I just love to talk to great actors and great artists about how art affects them.
I think art has affected me in how I interact with the world and others around me, finding more kindness and more empathy. I feel like as an actor, you see the world differently, right?
Yes.
Like we can connect with others who we might not be able to connect with otherwise. I think that theater and being an artist has made me a kinder, more patient, empathetic person.
Love that.
She is super patient and kind. I can attest. I love Ryan.
Oh, I love you.
Aww.
I think we all do.
We all do.
Yeah, she's so good and she's so funny. If you've never seen Dirty John's, go and see it. They're doing two in May at the studio and the Pride show in June.
Yeah, and I'm not in that one, but you should still come.
Okay, but you're in the one in May.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, sorry. Katie, back to your answer about art. Sorry.
Now we're talking about art.
Yes, no, now about back to art,
it's
everybody.
It's serious. It's art. It's
back
so
to serious.
Serious,
everyone.
Don't you understand? We're talking about art.
That's right.
I think for me, art has impacted me literally in so many ways. But I think the biggest way is how I feel. I already feel really deeply about things, but I am already an overdramatic person at times. When you act, when you're in a show, whether it's a play, a musical, whatever, and you're saying lines, you have to be a good listener. And you have to have conversation with either yourself or somebody else or the audience or whatever. You're always explaining or listening. And I have become a better listener. I have become better at conversation, and I have become better at response. And I feel so deeply when I hear music, and music really is our feelings put into instruments, put into words through a line or whatever. And I just think art really makes me think, feel, listen, and respond differently every single day. Because if I didn't have it, I would be a pretty boring person. I really would.
Preach, Katie. I feel the same exact way. Yeah. All right. Into the Woods is open, and it runs on select dates through April 26th at the lovely Demenz Landing in downtown St. Pete. And if you have never seen a park show, do yourself a favor. Come and see this one. It's such a fun night out. And there are general admission lawn seats if you want to do that. You can bring a blanket, bring a picnic basket. And there are ticketed seats, too. So if you're an old like me and can't sit on the ground, there is something for everybody. Go to americanstage.org for all the info that you need. Ryan, Katie, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
I can't wait to see the whole show, really, truly.
Yes!
Come on back.
Thank you, dear listener, for joining us on Big Broadway Energy. If you're tuning in for the first time and you're asking yourself, where's the Broadway hits on this Big Broadway Energy show? Well, you're looking for the radio show of the same name, which is on RadioStPete.com and Sunshine 96.7 FM, Sundays at 5 p.m. And if you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the show, email me, will ya? BigBroadwayEnergy, all one word, at gmail.com. Until next time, friends, be kind, be curious, and keep creating. Bye, everybody.